Whitman to Mr. and Mrs. S. B. Haskell, August 10, 1863. Washington, August 10, 1863. Mr. and Mrs. Haskell. Dear friends, I thought it would be soothing to you to have a few lines about the last days of your son, Erastus Haskell, of Company K, 141st New York Volunteers. I write in haste, and nothing of importance, only I thought anything about Erastus would be welcome. From the time he came to Armory Square Hospital till he died, there was hardly a day but I was with him a portion of the time, if not during the day, then at night. I had no opportunity to do much or anything for him, as nothing was needed, only to wait the progress of his malady. I am only a friend, visiting the wounded and sick soldiers, not connected with any society or state. From the first, I felt that Erastus was in danger, or at least was much worse than they in the hospital supposed. As he made no complaint, they perhaps thought him not very bad. I told the doctor of the ward to look him over again. He was a much sicker boy than he supposed, but he took it lightly, said, "I know more about these fever cases than you do. The young man looks very sick, but I shall certainly bring him out of it all right." I have no doubt the doctor meant well and did his best. At any rate, about a week or so before Erastus died, he got really alarmed, and after that he and all the doctors tried to help him, but without avail. Maybe it would have not have made any difference anyhow. I think Erastus was broken down, poor boy, before he came to the hospital here. I believe he came here about July 11th. Somehow I took to him. He was a quiet young man, behaved always correct and decent, said little. I used to sit on the side of his bed. I said once, "You don't talk any, Erastus. You leave me to do all the talking." He only answered quietly, "I was never much of a talker." The doctor wished everyone to cheer him up very lively. I was always pleasant and cheerful with him, but did not feel to be very lively. Only once I tried to tell him some amusing narratives, but after a few moments I stopped. I saw that the effect was not good, and after that I never tried it again. I used to sit by the side of his bed pretty silent, as that seemed most agreeable to him, and I felt it so too. He was generally oppressed for breath and with the heat, and I would fan him. Occasionally he would want a drink. Some days he dozed a good deal. Sometimes, when I would come in, he woke up, and I would lean down and kiss him. He would reach out his hand and pat my hair and beard a little, very friendly, as I sat on the bed and leaned over him. Much of the time his breathing was hard. His throat worked. They tried to keep him up by giving him stimulants, milk punch, wine, etc. These perhaps affected him, for often his mind wandered somewhat. I would say, "Erastus, don't you remember me, dear son? Can't you call me by name?" Once he looked at me quite a while when I asked him, and he mentioned over inaudibly a name or two. One sounded like Mr. Setchell. And then, as his eyes closed, he said quite slow, as if to himself, "I don't remember. I don't remember. I don't remember." It was quite pitiful. One thing was, he could not talk very comfortably at any time. His throat and chest seemed stopped. I have no doubt at all he had some complaint besides the typhoid. In my limited talks with him, he told me about his brothers and sisters by name, and his parents, wished me to write to his parents and send them and all his love. I think he told me about his brothers living in different places, one in New York City, if I recollect right. From what he told me, he must have been poorly enough for several months before he came to Armory Square Hospital. The first week in July, I think he told me, he was at the regimental hospital at a place called Baltimore Corners, not many miles from White House, on the peninsula. Previous to that, for quite a long time, although he kept around, he was not at all well, couldn't do much, was in the band as a fifer, I believe. While he lay sick here, he had his fife laying on the little stand by his side. He once told me that if he got well, he would play me a tune on it. But, he says, I'm not much of a player yet. I was very anxious he should be saved, and so were they all. He was well used by the attendants. Poor boy, I can see him as I write. He was tanned and had a fine head of hair, and looked good in the face when he first came, and was in pretty good flesh, too. Had his hair cut close about 10 or 12 days before he died. He never complained, but it looked pitiful to see him lying there with such a look out of his eyes. He had large, clear eyes. They seemed to talk better than words. I assure you, I was attracted to him much. Many nights I sat in the hospital by his bedside till far in the night. The lights would be put out, yet I would sit there silently, hours, late, perhaps fanning him. He always liked to have me sit there, but never cared to talk. I shall never forget those nights. It was a curious and solemn scene, the sick and wounded lying around in their cots, just visible in the darkness, and this dear young man close at hand, lying on what proved to be his deathbed. I do not know his past life, but what I do know, and what I saw of him, he was a noble boy. I felt he was one I should get very much attached to. I think you have reason to be proud of such a son, and all his relatives have cause to treasure his memory. I write to you this letter because I would do something, at least, in his memory. His fate was a hard one, to die so. He is one of the thousands of our unknown American young men in the ranks about whom there is no record or fame, no fuss made about their dying so unknown. But I find in them the real precious and royal ones of this land, giving themselves up, aye, even their young and precious lives, in their country's cause. Poor dear son, though you were not my son, I felt to love you as a son. What short time I saw you sick and dying here. It is as well as it is, perhaps better. For who knows whether he is not better off, that patient and sweet young soul, to go than we are to stay. So farewell, dear boy. It was my opportunity to be with you in your last rapid days of death. No chance, as I have said, to do anything particular, for nothing could be done. Only you did not lay here and die among strangers without having one at hand who loved you dearly and to whom you gave your dying kiss. Mr. and Mrs. Haskell, I have thus written rapidly whatever came up about Erastus and must now close. Though we are strangers and shall probably never see each other, I send you and all Erastus's brothers and sisters my love. Walt. I live, when home, in Brooklyn, New York, in Portland Avenue, fourth door north of Myrtle, my mother's residence. My address here is care of Major Hapgood, Paymaster, USA, corner 15th and F Street, Washington, D.C.